think I hear some humming. I do. It sounds so familiar.
What's love got to do with it?
God, that sounds... How does that go?
You must understand my pulse react.
Yes.
It's physical. Only logical. How? What's love got to do? Got to do with it. What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart? Oh,
great song. All you need. Yep, so all she needs are stiletto heels, pumped up a wig going, what's love got to do? Anyway. So, well, you know what, especially as so many of us have gone through Valentine's Day. Some of us, we've had, hopefully you had a wonderful Valentine's Day on Thursday, yes? You got to do with it. There's a secondhand emotion. Must be a... Well, that's why I'm here to tell you. Because love has a lot to do with everything. Of course, we're still following Unity's theme, Living Love. And so we talked about the first week, living love. You can't start without accepting God's love. First, accepting that God is love, pure love, not the old-time religion where we talk about the authoritative God, the God that's going to smack you up, smite you if you do the wrong thing. No, we have a loving God that just loves you no matter who you are and what you are, what mistakes you've made, what greatness that you have. Well, thank you. I love you too, Gene. Jean's holding up. So for the Facebook audience and heart that said love, and I think it's chocolates. So we're all going to be digging into that. Love has everything to do with it. And hopefully, I think you are also saying that you got that for Valentine's, or you're sharing that for Valentine's?
I'm sharing it here.
See, she's sharing her love with us. And actually, that is so perfect. That was not time, because that's what we're talking about today. Yes. We are talking about, we've gone from God's love to our loving ourselves, now to loving others. And it's so easy to love the ones that you like most of the time. I mean, we cultivate these relationships, whether they're loving, love relationships, romantic relationships. We really cultivate those. Easier when they're friendships, because it's an equal balance. Family. I know a lot of us don't pick our own families, and those can be more difficult. This whole thing is about loving at a deeper level the ones that you like and already love. All right? And so, because there's a saying that I saw somewhere, that love is like the wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it, can't you? The only way that you can really see it, because it's an ethereal thing, it's an energy of sorts, the only way that you can see it is if it's coming through somebody, right? If it's coming through you or coming at you from somebody. That way you can see what love is and you can feel what love is. You know, as an introvert, I'm an extreme introvert, actually. I know sometimes people are like, you are? I'm like, yeah. But it's really only because I need to be inside by myself to gather energy. Any introvert can tell you that. Extroverts are easy. They need to be outside, gathering crowds to gain that energy. But even us introverts need to come out of our little shell, because we pump ourselves up. We get energized. Why? Not to stay in there getting more energized, but to come out, to flourish with everyone else. We all need one another. All creatures and essence on this planet need to be in relationship with one another. There's studies that I've seen where tadpoles take, for example. There's a study that tadpoles, when they are by themselves, they grow very, very slow. And if there's any damage to them, they heal. Unity with all their other tadpole brothers and sisters, they grow an increase by 300%. 300%. At the University of Chicago, they took another animal. Okay, this one you'll see, you'll kind of go, God, I wish they were separate. Mice. Mice, when studied by themselves and given the same diet as mice who are in a nest of mice, they grow eating the same thing at a 10% faster rate. Stronger, 10% stronger, 10% faster, 10% everything, which is why mice populate so well in places that we don't want them to. And from our local, okay, Carol, you said you're a developmental psychiatrist. She came up to me, psychologist, who reminded me after the 9 o'clock that yes, us humans too really do need to have touch. And I think we've all read these studies, and it's so true that babies, especially orphans, if they don't get touched, they can get their basics, they can get fed, but unless they get that loving, unless they are held, they can die. We can die. Doesn't just mean the babies. Without the love and caring for one another, to one another, we ultimately die. And it isn't just a physical death. It isn't just a mental death. It's a spiritual death. It's a death where we are in fear that we are no longer loved. If we're not getting it from one another, then what do we automatically do? We go out. We go outward. And ultimately, we inevitably go out to spirit. No one loves me, so that means the Father doesn't love me, that God doesn't love me. It ultimately goes back to, if I'm alone, I'm a bad person. If I'm alone, then nothing and no one loves me, and especially God, because God has created the scenario for me. When the ultimate is always not true, God loves all of us. But we have to be able to keep it, not think it's outside somewhere. In our hurt and our pain, when we're thinking about what does love have to do with it, we have to remember that love has everything to do with our living and with the people that we've loved and the people that we do love and like. We need them as they need you. Because we can't survive this, some of the things that keep us apart. And remember that we are interconnected. Now, I know that as a child, and I appreciate it because I'm an independent woman. And I think most good parents do this. They slowly wing you off so that you're not completely and always dependent on the parents. But in some of that translation, I think for most parents, for most people, there also then becomes a separateness. Okay, I'm going to be independent from them. That means I have to do it by myself. I have to do everything by myself. I have to be of the generation that's kind of before and slightly with me. It's all about, I got to do it my way because no one else is going to do it for me. I got to put on my big girl pants or my big boy pants, and I got to walk the walk, and I got to do it. Because no one else is going to do it for me. And we find ourselves separate. And the more, again, we find ourselves separate, we find ourselves not only separating from one another, we find ourselves separating more and more from God. We are all interconnected, not just you and me and all of you with me, but with God. And so this living love is so important. And it reminds us that we are the hands. We are the hearts. We are the vessels of which God continues to flow forth for each one. We are the ones. We are the beloveds. So I'd like to explore moving forward in this interdependence. And it's not a codependency. It's a being yourself, being independent, being creative, being exactly who you are, because we are each individualized expressions of God, made beautifully in its own image. But we all want to be that independent expression of God with each other, sharing those experiences, appreciating those experiences of the expression of God that we each and every one of us are, not as a person who is finding other people to explore with. I just looking on this and reminded of a story that I found. It's an old story of a mature couple. Man is driving. His wife is at the passenger seat, and they stop at a stoplight. And alongside them pulls up a really old car with this cute little couple, cute young couple. And you remember Young Love, yes, we were there. And it was, and the girl was cuddled up to the guy, and they were so close. And so the middle-aged lady commented, "Oh, George, isn't it nice to see them so close?" The husband said nothing. So then she added, "You remember when we used to be like that?" Husband just grunts. And then, like a spark that went through him, like a light bulb, he said this one thing: "Well, I haven't moved." Well, I use that story to say that we all need to move towards love, a little bit more love. So many of us, we think that we're trying to get love and receive love, but we find ourselves stepping away from that which we want love from. I mean, we can all remember the love thing, and how many of you, if you're in a committed relationship over a long time, how long has it been since you guys have cuddled up next to one another in the car? Well, thanks, Deborah.
The cars are different.
Cars are different, Deborah says. And I will accept that since my car has this big old thing in the middle. Doesn't mean you can't lean over it, though. You know, and that isn't just with a love relationship. I mean, there's special friendships. But, I mean, I remember friends. I mean, we would be close. We not, might not be smudged over, but we would be in one another's space. We would be just kind of communicating and laughing. It's a touch. It's a feeling. It's a sharing. We all need it. Even with family members. Okay, yeah, those long drives, those few long drives I've had with my brother in a car. And since he was he's 8 years older than me, that could be difficult because he used to punish me and torture me. But anyway. Now, it's a different story because we choose it to be a different story. So what do we need to do to move back together again, to come in relationship with one another? There's an Admiral Byrd, Richard Byrd, who was in a solitary lifestyle. He chose to do some scientific research at the South Pole. For a little bit over 5 months, he was by himself. 5 months of taking data, of almost dying a couple times because he was fighting the cold, fighting the elements, and he was all alone. And when he came back with a great number of triumphs and scientific data that could be used and that we're using now. But let me share with you the one thing that he realized through this whole thing, more important than the data that he brought, data, whatever you want to call it, more important than any of the experience, he realized that his priorities through life had been wrong. Because he had no one to count on. He had nobody. And so what he found out, and what he ended up saying was that the end, only two things matter to a human, he found out. They are affection and love. He continued to say, "I realize now how much of my life I've wasted." He wished he could do it all over again. "I wish I could love more. I wish I had more affection for humankind." Because ultimately, as much as we believe we love, we talk about love, we sing love songs. By the way, I ask you to look at how many love songs you sing that aren't about true love and great love, but are about heartbreak and heartache. And we don't even, I mean, how many times have I sung "What's Love Got to Do with It"? Just do it and then realize, oh, secondhand, what am I singing? Because words have power. I talk all the time about a beautiful, I used to love Mr. Luther Vandross. Yeah, his voice. I used to sing his songs endlessly until I started realizing, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I can't breathe without you? What? It really started, and I wish I could remember the name of the song, and I say this all the time, and I forget it. Well, there was one song where he was like, I've been in all these wonderful relationships, but I miss you, so I'd rather be in a really crappy relationship than to have another new one, good one. Research it, girl. It's one. Because I was singing it, I was driving, and I was like, what am I saying? Luckily, I was a Unity student, remembering that words have something. So when you pick a love song, if you want love in your life, if you want friendship in your life, if you want all your relationships with family and everything to be great, pick some good songs to sing. Say some great words. Move forward, because ultimately what we want to do is to open ourselves up, not block the love of God surging forth within us. That is what ultimately spiritually we are here to do. Let me backtrack. Ultimately, but this all comes together. If you will read any Thomorian book, ultimately our spiritual goal is to take away all the boundaries that we have placed up of separation to God. As I said a couple weeks ago, if God is love, then we need to also take away any boundaries that we have from that love. And we need to allow that love, which is God, to flow in and through us like a river flooding us, flooding our soul. So much of it, so deep, so wide, that we can't do anything except continuing to give love out. And why not start in one of the easiest places most of the time than the people that we already love? But the more we get into a relationship, the more we put our walls up, put our needs up, put all these boundaries up, and we find ourselves separated from the ones that we love. Somehow we find ourselves separated from the friends that we don't know how we got there. Sometimes we find ourselves separated from our family, and these are families that we like, and we don't know how we did it. This is a conversation about finding love within yourself to continue to move forward, to express the love. Don't waste time. Don't continue to find the priority in the material world. This world has a lot of bells and whistles that will take you away from the truth of who you are, that you are a divine, individualized expression of God, born here, brought here with the mission to know your oneness and to share every aspect of God with each and every person. And again, I remind you that that aspect of God is not an authoritative God. I remind you again that that aspect of God is not a God that is there to smite you. I remind you that that God that we talk about here is not a God that is going to keep continually telling you how wrong or how bad you are. We are talking about a God who loves you no matter what mistakes you make, no matter what happens. Now, know that as I say that, I am not saying that you should be used or abused. Let me put that in quotation marks and a little bit separate. I am not saying you should be used or abused. If you are being used and abused by someone that you love, yes, get away from them. But that doesn't mean that you need to block your love. You just don't need to love them with them in front of you. But continue loving, sharing that love, giving that love out. Be the conduit that we are all meant to be, whoever it is. Infuse all of your relationships with God's love. And God's love is you manifesting, being the expression. You know, we talk about that there's aspects of God. There's the divine mind, there's the divine idea, and there's the divine expression. And ultimately, even though we dissect them, divine mind, God, all of God is everywhere present, all in you. It continues to provide you with the divine ideas of greatness for your life so that we can all experience heaven here on earth. And you and me, brothers and sisters, we are an aspect of the Holy Spirit. We are the conduits of all this that are here to manifest the heaven. Heaven is actually a state of mind. And once we have the state of mind in our consciousness, all we can do is manifest it here. And so start where it's easier, with the family, with our love, with the people that we already love. And how can we do that? Well, I always say a little bit of TLC doesn't hurt. Maybe a little bit different. I know you're talking about tender love and care. Yes, we can all use some tender love and care. But we're talking about God's basics. We're talking about trust for T. Because trust, you can't whether it's a love relationship, whether it's familial, whether it is a solid friendship, no matter what that is, even if it's a relationship at work, it's not going to be a great relationship unless you can trust the person. And the way you do that is allow God's will of good to guide you in even each and every aspect. Let God's will of good guide you into your relationships. Let God's will of good affirm or deny that, yes, this is a good person for you, or say or tell you that this person is here in fear. And just to watch out, not to, about the double negative, not to not love them, but to love them from afar. Allow God's guidance to tell you who you can trust, because then it develops honesty within the relationship. And once you have that trust and that honesty, all greatness continues to manifest in any and all relationships. It becomes beautiful. Love, loving. Of course, L has to be loving. To be loving to one another. As this whole talk was all about, to allow God's love to move in, through, and as you so that you can be loving. But because love is a verb. But not only to be loving, but to accept, not but, and to accept love. You also need to be a conduit of accepting God's love and accepting love in your own being from around you. Because God is everywhere present, and if someone is trying to give you some love, accept it. Love, I know I have to, in this world you have to be cautious. So love in the workplace. I'm not talking, I was a VP in a corporate, so I'm not talking about third party harassment or any of that. Love comes in a multitude of ways. You can love your employee, your employer, your coworker, smiling at them, saying good morning with a smile. If someone did that at 9 o'clock with a heartfelt, good morning. And not Roger. Good morning, Peggy. Okay, Roger, good morning. If you really felt someone honestly giving you that, and a bright, that's love, isn't it? And doesn't that kind of brighten up your day? Even if it's a stranger, you're walking down the street, and they go, hi. Now, you might be kind of going, what just happened? But once you realize what happened, it kind of gives you, here, you're like, oh, that was nice. All of a sudden, you kind of want to bring that love to somebody. You become brighter. Sharing in the workplace is if you're in a meeting and they have a good point, saying that was an excellent point. Loving in the workplace is saying, wow, you look like you're having a bad day. Can I help in some ways? Can I get you coffee? That's what I'm talking about, love. Love, those sorts of things with your partner. How many times, so many times, I've been there. You're in a relationship for so long, you're just doing the things. You say hi, you kiss, mwah, goodbye. You don't even feel the kiss anymore. It's like, mwah. Go back to sharing God's love. That intimacy, that into me see, ways that are appropriate, obviously, but in new intimate ways that express God's love. Because that's what we're here to do. That is what we're meant to be. Also, once you have the trust, once you're sharing the love, you are communicating in beautiful, brilliant ways that continue to shed and share God's love all over the place. Now it's verbally. Now there's body communication. Everything that you do is love. So now as we move forward, I ask you, as we are living love, continue moving forward consciously, knowing that God's love is not only flowing within you, it is you. You hear that? God's love is not only flowing within you, it is you. Only if you say, yes, it is. All you need to do is say, yes, God, I accept your love flowing in through you. Yes, I accept what my divine nature wants me to do, which is share it and give it away. Because too many times we are in relationship and we start holding tight because we're afraid to give it away. We're afraid that we're going to lose it. No, love can't be bound. Love isn't supposed to be bound, because once you treat love in that way, it goes automatically. But I swear to you, no matter what the relationship is, the more you give it love, even if it's a romantic relationship it isn't meant to be, for some reason, even if it goes away, you find that because you still have love and you gave it all love, you're not as heartbroken. And you trust that it's all right. The more you give love away, the more it comes back to you. Life is reciprocity. It isn't just a money reciprocity. Love continues to build as you open yourself up to it. So, not just in this week, for the rest of your life, if you're going to live love, open to being love. With that, let us move forward to our denial and affirmation. And Jordan, I've been talking about you. For the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about how you kind of into denials and affirmations. You didn't, but it was Jordan over here who said, hey, how can we never do denial? And I was like, I will do it. So thank you, Jordan. Denial, I am so filled with love that no fear can enter with light and love. Let us say this together. I am so filled with love that no fear can enter my thoughts. I am a radiant being filled with light and love. Breathe that in. Feel that. With love that no fear can enter my thoughts. I am a radiant being filled with light